All right, guys, Parshas Noach. I guess we could turn it on, yeah. I guess so. It's supposed to give me a yellow glow, so it's good. It's the second one on the left-hand side over there. Should be, at least. All right, Parakas, Pasuk Zayin, and Parshas Noach. It says, Vayishlach es ha'orei vayotze yatzo v'shov. So he sent out the Ori of the raven and went out. That's not it, right? And it went this way and that. It's the one all the way toward the wall that way, the other one. There you go. Second one. So Ad Yavoshzam, it went Vishov Ad Yavoshzamayim until the waters dried up. Me'awa Aretz, from upon the ground. So the question that we're going to ask today are some of the obvious ones. We're going to start off with Rashi and then go from there. Rashi says when the raven was sent out, it flew around the Teva. Flew all around the Teva. Did not know, all right, not do what it was sent out to do in the first place, seemingly to check out the land and see if the water had dried up. It didn't do what it was supposed to do. And the reason why it refused, according to the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Kuf Chasam Abeis, is because it had a complaint. Turned to Noach, and it said, God hates me, and you hate me. God hates me because he only wanted two of me on the Teva. Some animals he chose seven. The kosher animals, the kosher birds, seemingly the kosher birds. The pasuk doesn't actually say seven kosher birds. But seemingly the kosher animals and kosher birds were seven or 14. By me, there was only two. So God clearly hates me. And you hate me because you could have chosen any other animal, any other bird. You could have chosen anything in the world, and instead you chose me to put me in a dangerous situation. So Noah hates me, God hates me, and that's that. What would happen if the air isn't clean and the raven dies, the male raven dies, then there's no more ravens in the world? But there's so many questions to ask over here. Number one, why in the world did Noah have to send out a bird in the first place if he wasn't planning on leaving until God told him to? I mean, the whole plan was go into the Teva, and seemingly it's a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't leave on your own. You can't just get up and say, I'm out now. So even if the bird would have come back immediately and said, yeah, it's dry, everything's all good, Noach still couldn't leave. So what was the point in sending out the bird in the first place? Why would you do that in the first place? That's number one. Number two, why the raven? What really? The raven had a good claim. I'm only one of two. There's no reason to send me. You could send any of the kosher birds. And he did. After the first time, and the raven came back, or it didn't go around, he sent out a dove, a yonah. So why didn't he send the yonah in the first place? If the yonah is a kosher animal anyway, and there are 13 extra of the yonah, depends on what we said last year, but then why? Why would you send out this bird over anything else? And why didn't the raven go outside? What was it worried about? What was the issue that the raven said, I can't go, I'm not going any further than all this area around that? And my final question is, was the raven ever let back in? It does not say that he took the raven back in. By the yonah, it said that it came back, and yonah, he lo matzah, yonah manoach, wasn't able to find rest, so yonah, Noach put his hand out, grabbed the yonah, and brought it back into the Teva. But not by the orev. The orev was not taken back, so where'd the orev go? Did the raven just stay outside the entire time? What happened to it? So the questions seem obvious. I do have another question, but it's a question that you can sort of like ask yourself and just say, if Og was on the side of the table, why didn't he just turn to Og and just be like, hey, look down? That would have been an obvious one. Meaning, if Og was there, that would be an easy way to get around it. There's no reason to say send any birds. Og should have been around. Okay, there might be answers. Og ran away. Og wasn't allowed to look. Og was, whatever it is. There could be answers to that. But regardless, how do we understand this? So Sforno says that the reason why the raven was sent out is to check out the air around the Teva, not the ground. It wasn't there to see if the ground had dried up. He knew that it had rained. The last time it rained was days, months ago, and that it only rained for 40 days. And even though the rain obviously was 15 amos above the ground, he knew that eventually it was going to be there, but he wasn't sure about the air. Was the air breathable? Was the air safe, or was it dangerous outside? So, and because he saw the mountains outside, he knew there was something out there. But since the raven couldn't fly any further out there, because ravens are not known for long flights, it went out just around the Teva, and it was safer on the Teva, then he sent the yonah out to go test other areas. Was it safer even further? That's an obvious answer, just a little bit unique, because it wasn't about the ground, it was about the air. But that's one answer the Sforno gives. The Ramban says, like Rashi, seemingly the reason why, he doesn't say it straight out, but he hints to it in Pasuk Hey, he wanted to see if the land was dry yet, if there were any trees that they could live off of. Is there a way for me to send out the animals? Is that possible over here? The raven returned immediately because nothing was available. In that sense, the Ramban is not saying that the raven sinned. The raven did its job. It went out to go see if there were any trees, if there was anything available. There wasn't, so it just came back and just that. But the question is, according to both explanations, whether you go with the Sforno or the Ramban, technically, why is it sending out the Yonah again? Maybe to go a little bit further, but still, the raven couldn't do that, or the raven wouldn't do that. According to both those explanations, we're a little bit lost in what happened. The Paneach Raza says the reason why Noach sent out those two birds is because Noach was a Rachmani. He was a person who was merciful. He didn't wish to hurt the animals on the Teva. He wanted the animals to have everything they needed. Here was the problem. He had no idea when he was getting off the Teva. Absolutely no idea. So because of that, he was rationing the food and giving the food to the animals little by little by little, tiny, tiny little amounts, just enough so the animals would survive. Why? Because he wasn't sure if he had to be there for another year or 2 years or 3 years. He wasn't given any time limit by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, because he only had a limited amount of food on the table and he couldn't grow anything, so because of that, he had to give all the animals exactly what they needed to survive and no more than that. So he wanted to see how close it was toward the end. And the closer it was toward the end, the more food he could feed the animals. When the raven was sent out and it couldn't see anything, he still rationed. When the Yonah went out and it saw there was something, he just couldn't bring anything back yet, and then came back with the olive leaf and finally didn't go at all, that's when he fed the animals to their fill, gave them as much as they needed in preparation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu letting them leave the table. So why did he do this in the first place? This was not to see when he should leave. This was to see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu would tell him to leave, so that he would know, can I now feed the animals normally or not? That's what he did, which is a great answer. This is the Paneach Raza's answer. The Raza the mayor says, that's a problem. Because he should have had more Amunah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to fill the table with food. He should realize that if he's allowed to fill the table with food, either in the bottom level or the top level, if he filled it with food, that means there will be enough food for them to survive. And just like the Baba Sali was able to wrap that bottle of Arak and carry it and pour for everybody in the room, if he would have needed food for 7 years on the Teva, he would have had it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have made sure he had enough food to be able to feed every animal on the Teva. There was never a reason to ration. Obviously, you got to be practical. But nonetheless, Noach didn't have to. This was all miraculous. He's looking at a Teva that fits all the animals in the world in a limited 300 by 150 by 50 by 50. 300 by 50 by 30 Amma Teva. That doesn't make any sense. There's miracles all over the place. If you're looking for miracles, the fact that the food was enough for everybody is not that big of a deal. Nonetheless, the Raza and the Meir says, it could be like the Paneach Raza says, but he says it just doesn't seem that way immunized. The Orach Chaim HaKadosh, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, and Rav Moshe Alshich, the Alshich says, they have a problem with saying that the raven was sent to go see if the water was down. By the Yonah, it says, Hakalu Amayim, go check out if the water went down. But over here, there's no word over here. By Yishlach as the Orev, that's all it was. He sent the Orev. It sounds like he sent it away, like he kicked it out. So they all look at this case and they say it's a little bit different. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Chasim Beis says there were three creatures on the Teva that sinned with their mate. When they went down to the Teva, they were told, and Rashi says, because the way that they were supposed to go on, it was Noach and his sons, and then his wife, and then his sons' wives. They were separated, Noach from his wife, and the sons from their sons' wives. There's a separation between them because they weren't allowed to be together on the Teva. There were three creatures that didn't listen. The first was the dog. The kelev didn't listen. It was together with its mate. The orev was together. The raven was together with its mate. And chum was together with its mate. All three were punished in their own way. And that's brought down from the Medrash itself. Says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh and the Alshich and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, yet Noach kicked out the raven. This was not a messenger being sent to go check out what happened to the land. He said to the raven, get out. I don't want you here anymore. As soon as he had an opportunity to kick out the raven, as soon as he heard about it, and it could be that he even saw the eggs in the nest. And once he saw the eggs in the nest, he's like, what happened here? And the raven's like, I have no idea. And he's like, that just doesn't work by me. That's not what happens here, right? Because that happened immediately. As soon as Noach saw it, Noach took the raven and threw it out of the Teva, completely never planning on coming back. And it didn't. It stayed out. Now, what about the dog? And Chum, the Kelev should have been kicked out. Chum should have been kicked out. Well, they wouldn't be able to survive. Noach didn't want it to die, and he knew that the raven would at least be able to survive out there. There were bodies that were floating, according to the Medrash. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that's how the Orev survived until the end. It survived by eating from the people who had floated up to the top. There were people there. There was some food that might have floated up to the top on top of the water itself. In fact, it's possible that the Orev just stayed on top of the Teva the whole time. Why not? It's not raining. So the Orev stayed on top of the Teva while it was there, but it was kicked out for the sin. And had the Chum and the dog been able to be kicked out, they would have been. They would have been. Razan Amir says this as well at length. He goes through the psukim and says this has to be the pshat. There's no other reason to send out the Orev than this. Give me a second, Matthew. Hold on 1 second. It could also answer one of my biggest questions. It's mamish. Probably, I don't understand it at all. But I think so. If Noach was not planning on leaving anyway, like we said before, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to tell him when to leave, then why would he ask the Yonah if the land was dry? Why even send the Yonah then? There's no point. Meaning kicking out the Orev I get. But what's the pshat beyond the Yonah? But now it makes a lot of sense. Noah wanted to see if the land was dry. Not so that he could leave. He said he could kick out the dog and Chum. He was ready to kick out. He had already kicked out the Orev because he knew it would survive. And he was going to kick out Chum and the Kelev. And he wanted to see, is there enough place for them to be outside where they'll survive? And as soon as they were going to be able to survive, when the Yonah left and didn't come back, at that point he was about to kick out Chum. I'm sure he had Chum right here and the Kelev by its tail, I don't know, whatever, grabbing both of them, about to kick them out, and right at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, you can leave the table. Right at that moment, Hashem said, now you can leave. To which he didn't have to kick them out. But he would have. He was ready to. He just didn't get to do it. That's the idea behind it. What's up, Madi?
So if this was the reasoning, then why not kick out both ravens? It sounds like he only kicked out one.
I think, and I'm not positive, that there was an instigator in that. And perhaps there was an admission, whatever it is. I don't know. But it seems from the Gemara that the Orev, the Kelev, and Chum. Notice, it's one. It's not the Orvim, the Klovim, and Chum and his wife that had sinned. It seems that there were instigators, and they were the ones who caused the issue. And therefore, the females were not to be kicked out, or the woman was not able to be kicked out, I think. But I'm not positive about that. It's a good question. I have absolutely no idea.
And how is there ravens, and how are there dogs? I mean, I understand humans, because there are other humans.
Why would it be the problem? Again, the dog wasn't kicked out. Chum wasn't kicked out. And the raven had eggs. So that wasn't a problem, right?
When they were on the table, they
Yeah, seemingly. That's what it seems like over there. I would assume that. Now, why wasn't he worried about the men of the ravens? This really, what you just said, this kind of answers my question over here, but I'm going to give like 10 answers to this. Why wasn't he worried about sending out the ravens that he was going to be mevatel, the whole men of ravens, that no ravens were going to survive? Why wasn't he worried about that? I mean, that's a legitimate worry. That's something you should be worried about. There will be no more ravens. If you kick this raven out and it's a non-kosher creature, it's the only one like it, why wasn't he worried? So Rav Yaakov Kamatsky suggests, obviously, and other Achronim say this as well, because there were eggs. He knew the ravens were going to survive no matter what. So no other animal deserved to be kicked out. The raven he knew was going to survive because there were eggs around, so it wasn't a big deal. Seemingly, it was expendable. And since it was expendable, let's use the raven. When the raven didn't do the job, then he said, okay, I don't have a choice. So he chose a kosher animal, which was one of 14. But nonetheless, there was an expendable creature there. That's the reason why. The Grizz says an amazing answer. It says it was a bris made with everything on the teva, that anything on the teva was going to survive no matter what. Now, first of all, I don't know where this bris comes from. Vakimosi is brisi itchem, which it says in the beginning of the parsha, is talking about the food. Rashi says the food would last and would not rot, which is a big deal. You're dealing with plants on the teva for a full year with no real sunlight and no real way of getting out of it. It obviously would start to rot. That makes sense that it would start to rot. But it didn't. Says the Grizz, nothing happened to it. Everything survived and seemingly was all good. Says the Grizz, not just the fruits, but the animals were guaranteed to survive. Now listen to this. But that's only the animals that Hashem said I want onto the teva. Why did Noach have 14 of all the kosher animals? To bring 12 korbanos, and the other two would be for Kiyum Amin. He's not guaranteed that any of those other 12 would survive. He's only guaranteed that the two of every min would survive. So if he sends out, let's say, an extra Yonah, he's not guaranteed that Yonah's going to live. And then he loses a korban. But if he sends out the raven, he's guaranteed the raven will survive. If the raven's going to survive, he has nothing to worry about. Says the Grizz, that's why he sent out a raven. He had to send out a tame creature on purpose because it was the only one he was guaranteed to survive. The only problem with that Grizz is then why then did he just send out the Yonah? Like when the raven didn't work, he should have sent out an eagle. If the eagle doesn't work, then he send out a sparrow. If the sparrow doesn't work, then send out an ostrich. I know that'll be problematic. Can't fly much, right? But whatever. Send out a non-kosher bird and then deal with it. Why the Yonah? Yeah, what's up, Paul?
So if the raven had eggs, wouldn't that make that there be more animals than were supposed to be on the table at all?
Yeah, that was the problem why they weren't allowed to in the first place, because if they would propagate, if they'd have Puru Ravu on the Teva, then obviously there'd be more animals to feed, and they had a limited amount of food, and even though it could be miraculous, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to just keep growing like that. So I'm assuming that's why. So yes, that was the problem in the first place, but it did have it. It doesn't say, by the way, that the dogs had any little puppies going around, but that would be cute, right? You could have puppies in the teva, and like everybody got, all right, whatever. I'm sure they were sick of animals, I'm positive. After a year, like when Eliezer of Avraham asked Shame in that Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Ches, when he goes up to him, he's like, what was it like on the teva? He didn't say like, it was a zoo, it was awesome. It was like this worst time of my life. And I lived for 600 years, so I know how much life is all about. Like, this is literally the worst year of my life, and I had 599 good ones. This was horrible. So I think, like, I don't know. I've never worked at a zoo before. I'm pretty sure after, like, a week, I'm going to be like, why don't the kangaroos just come up to me and hug me? And they keep punching me. I'm pretty sure that's what my life would be like. The Chizkuni says the exact same question. He asks about this as well. He says the raven had the easiest chance of survival. Why? Because most other birds will not eat what they find in a destroyed world. There's going to be destruction everywhere. What are you going to eat? But the raven will eat carrion. The raven will eat disgusting things like a dead body. So he sent out the raven because he's like, look, you eat garbage. Go ahead. Go fly. You can find whatever you need to do. Everything else might not survive, but the raven at least would. And Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says that's exactly what happened. As we said above, it found a dead body and was eating some of the people of the dead body. And says the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, that's why Noach wouldn't let him back in. Like, the raven came back after having his fill, comes back to Noach, and Noach's like, what did you just eat? And he's like, nothing. And he's like, I'm pretty sure you ate something. Right? And for that reason, wouldn't let the raven back onto the teva for the fact that he just did that. What's up? I would assume, like, he could have chosen an eagle, a hawk, a vulture, whatever it was. I would assume any of those would have gone through. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. They say that the reason why Benjamin Franklin never wanted the bald eagle to be the official symbol of America, the reason why we had it, it was like a big machlok, because Benjamin Franklin said no, because he said, eagles eat garbage. They eat carrion, they eat dead fish, and they eat things from other people. They'll steal food from other people. So we don't want an eagle. They say the questions what he really wanted. Do you want a turkey, which is ridiculously disgusting, or do you want a dolphin? They say he might have wanted a dolphin as the official symbol of America. That would have been pretty awesome, right? But I guess dolphins are not, bald eagles aren't for America. I mean, the claim was that they wanted America to be the new Rome, so they wanted it to be like the Roman symbol of the golden eagle of Zeus and whatever it was, so they wanted it to be similar to it. But his claim was like that. He didn't want the eagles. I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. The Moshe of the Kingdom says a very similar answer. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, I will take care of the parnassa of the raven no matter what. Ravens, I'll always take care of. We say it, Livnei Orev Asher Yikra'u, right? The sons of the ravens that call out. The Medrash says that the raven ditches its kids. We don't see this by any ravens that we know of today, but the Medrash says that the raven ditches its kids and doesn't want to see its kids, so it doesn't feed them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin the parnassa for ravens. So whenever you need, all other animals, obviously HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there for all of them, but the raven especially, so he specifically chose the raven, says Moshe Zakeinu, because of that. Also because HaKadosh Baruch Hu compares his hair to the blackness of ravens, kvutzosav taltalim shchoros ke'orev, that the locks of hair that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described as in Mishlei is as if it's as black as a raven. Therefore, the raven has some type of a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow. There's a Torah Shlema that quotes Rabbi Yavoh and Rabbi Chia, two different midrashim over there. The Torah Shlema brings those both down. The Tam Vidas says another answer, number 7. I am skipping 5 and 6. The raven was sent because Noach was worried. Maybe the bird sends out won't want to come back because it's living on a teva, on a tiny little cage. It can't really fly anywhere and nothing's there. Then all of a sudden he sets it free and he's like, come back, bird, come into your cage. The bird's not coming back. There's no way any bird is coming back. But a raven has cruelty in its nature. The raven is used to being caged up. I don't know what that means exactly, but maybe even ravens back then had that cruel nature about them. He would come back. So he knew that the raven would come back. But again, that doesn't hold up so much with the fact that he sent a Yonah right afterward. And the Yonah came back also. So that also is a little bit strange. The way that Rav Sternbach says it, it's very it just seems strange to me. The Netziv gives a great answer. I don't know if you've heard this answer before, but it's a crazy answer. Noach had pets, and he brought those pets onto the teva. The raven and the Yonah were not animals brought onto the teva for Kiyum Amin. Noach was a sar, he says. He was an officer, a person of very big stature. His father was Lemech. His grandfather was Mesushelach. His great-grandfather was Chanoch. These were kings of the world. Noach was a special person who was well-known. And therefore, as an important person, he for sure had pets. And on the top level of the Teva, he kept his pets. Second level was for the Stam, the common animals, the two of each. And there were two ravens on the Teva. But he had his own raven, and he had his own dove. That was on the top floor where he used to hang out, and those were his little pets. These were his own animals, not something else. They were his own. Says the Netziv, Noach had no permission to send out any of the other animals. The Kiyumamin, he had to keep them alive just in case. He had no permission to send anything else out, but his own animals he could. So in order to see what's going on, he sent out, number one, the raven. The raven he knew was going to stay close to home, because that's what ravens do. He knew that if he sends out the raven's going to be there, but it would be able to see a little bit further and help him figure out what's going to be around there. When that didn't work, because it couldn't go any farther at all, he sent out his Yonah, his pet Yonah, and the Yonah went a little bit further, and that's why it kept coming back. Because the Yonah was his pet, it knew, and it was used in that way. Maybe it was like a passenger pigeon, that it was used to be able to deliver messages from one to the other, and eventually it came back. In fact, the Yonah is even called by Targum Yonason, Yonsa Debesa, the Yonah of possibly his house, his pet Yonah. That's what it did. Now, granted, it didn't say that by the raven, but it could be that way. Yeah, Moshe?
According to this opinion, wouldn't he have been able to bring his slaves on the pigeon?
Possibly, yeah, if he had. Maybe Noach didn't have. It's possible. Meaning, can you bring actual slaves, human slaves, if you had them? Maybe you didn't have them. It's possible. I'm sorry?
Maybe the slaves sinned.
It doesn't matter. If it's your property, and slaves were considered property back then, then it should have been under the auspices of Noach, so the same way his kids were allowed to the Tevah, maybe the Avadim as well. But we don't see that. And actually, I don't know. I shouldn't say that for sure. I'd like to look that up. Were Avadim of Noach, would they have been allowed on the Tevah itself? It's a good question. I don't know. But seemingly, if this would be allowed, then the Netziv would say that other things would be allowed as well. He says, this explains the Gemara in Bava Basra. I'm telling you, this Gemara bothered me for years. It's a Gemara in Daf Ches in Bava Basra where it says there was a famine, and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi would only give food to Talmidei Chachamim. He wouldn't give food to Amei Aratzim. He didn't want to give his money over to Amei Aratzim or food over to Amei Aratzim, people in Am Aretz. So when people would come in, he would say to them, do you learn? And if they would say yes, then he would test them, and if they passed the test, he would give them food. And if not, he told them, go fend for yourselves. I'm not giving my food over to an Amma Aretz. So let's forget about the fact, why did Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi do that? That's already a Pella, and it's a strange thing altogether, but that's what Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi did. Okay, let's get around that back for a second. Rebbe Yonasan ben Amram came by, and he came up to Noach, and he said, came up to Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, and he said, feed me like the ravens and the dogs. Feed me like the ravens and the dogs. Right? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, do you know how to learn? He said, no. He said, feed me anyway like the ravens and dogs. So everybody compares it to this. They say, feed me like the ravens and dogs, even though they didn't deserve to be fed because they sinned. Feed me just like you fed them. That's the idea. The Marsha says that. The Bani Yoyada goes into that. But here the Netziv says a brand new pshat. He says, you know what pshat is? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was a very wealthy person. Very wealthy people have pets. He had dogs and ravens that he had in his fields around that used to clean up his fields. Whenever there was garbage out there, the dogs and the ravens took care of it. That's what he had. He had dogs and ravens all around. Those were his pets. So Rabbi Yonas and Abram ben Amram turned to Rebbe and he said, just like you feed your pets because they work for you, let me work for you and I'll get paid that way. So Rabbi Yonas, he said yes. So why did Rabbi Yonas get upset later when he realized he had given food possibly to an Am Aretz? Because Rabbi Yonas and Amram took the food and then went back to the base medrash and kept learning. He went back. Because Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was giving food to Talmidei Chachamim for free. But to the Amei Aratzim, he was making them work. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Amram took food and then left. So Rabbi said, Oy vey, I gave to an Am Aretz and he didn't work for me. Said his son, Rav Shimba Rebbe, I think it was, said to him, maybe there was Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Amram who's too humble and he doesn't want to admit that he's a Talmid Chacham. But that's the pshat, that he had those pets over there. The Malbim says, yes, there were ravens that were pets. But there's a different reason why. It's not because they were cool little creatures or whatever. Ravens can tell the future, says the Malbim. Ravens were used to be able to tell the future. The priests of other religions, he says, use them all the time. This is the Malbim, 1800s. Priests of other religions use ravens all the time. They would fly this way and that way, and they would call out, and they would be able to tell you exactly what's going on in Shemayim. Now, I found in a Yalkut Ruveni in this week's Parsha, number 89, in which he says, by the calling of the ravens, they do certain types of shvarim, truos, and tkios. The different calls of ravens. Now, I have not studied ravens very much, so I have absolutely no idea. But he says, when you hear a shvarim call of a raven, you know something bad is going to happen. If it does a tkia call, then something good is going to happen. That's how you can tell. And if it flies in a certain direction after it makes those calls, then you'll know exactly where the bad or the good thing is going to happen. So no, I did not spend my time looking for ravens. In truth, in Chicago, there are very few ravens. Do you know why there are very few ravens in Chicago? There used to be, quite a bit. When West Nile virus came to the Midwest, they sprayed for mosquitoes all over the place. The spraying that they did for mosquitoes, which apparently didn't work this year on Sukkot, but the spraying that they do for mosquitoes kills almost all the bugs that ravens eat. And because it killed all their bugs, all the ravens left. Either they died, there were tons of crows and ravens that were dead, or the ravens just left completely. They're no longer in Chicago. So seeing a raven in Chicago is an oddity. It's a rare thing. It's usually only in the cicada years. You know, like every 17 years there's cicadas? So the ravens will eat cicadas. They'll come back for the cicadas. But otherwise, the next time you see a raven, just try to capture it and keep it for yourself as a pet, because they're extremely rare, probably great pets. Yeah, no. I'm sorry, no, what? How do the ravens know? They can tell the future. I don't understand. We just said they can tell the future. It's like the silliest thing I've ever heard. If they can tell the future, they know when cicadas are coming. They count 17 years on their watches, and they look at it, and they're just like, yeah, we got it. And the priests know then also. He says, Noach knew all of these signs, and therefore he sent the raven to see how it would fly, how it would call out, and by doing that, he would know. This is what the Malbim says. The Malbim says he would know how much longer this world would be until he was able to walk on dry land. Can you imagine that? He was sending it out to know the magics, how to figure out these types of things through Kishuf and stuff like, I guess you would call it Nichush, to know what was happening over here. And it was commonly used in back in the day for this. Then he sent out the Yonah, because that's what he used for messages, so it could go even further. But the raven was used specifically to tell the future. That's why he sent out the raven. Is that amazing? I guess at the time, it's possible. There is a machlokas whether B'nai Noach are chayiv in Kishuf. It's a Gemara in Sanhedrin Nunches, whether or not they're chayiv if they do Kishuf. Meaning, if we hold that magic is usher nowadays, and even the sleight of hand, you know, achiz zeinayim, that's a machlokas, the shach says that it's usher, whatever. So if you have a Jewish person do it, the shach would say it's usher. Moshe Feinstein has said that it's mutter, baal peh, there's a tshuva about it, but in the tshuva he's not like all for it, but baal peh, he's told people that they could be magicians, they could do this type of thing, even if they don't have to tell exactly what they're doing, etc. But Moshe Feinstein has, whatever, that's another thing altogether. But the shach said it was usher. It's possible that Kishuf is usher by non-Jews as well. And if Kishuf is usher, it's possible that even Achizah say Naim, which is sleight of hand, would be usher by non-Jews. If that's true, then hiring a non-Jewish magician. If you hire a Jewish magician for a party, he's over on a lav, possibly. Okay, it might be over on a lav, right? That he can't do it, Achizah say Naim, etc. might be over on a lav. But if you hire a non-Jew to do Kishuf at a party, it's possible he's chayiv Misa. That would be awesome, right? You've had a magician over to your party and then you kill him afterward. He's like, I've got my own magic trick, right? But it's possible. It's a possibility that this, by the times of Noach, that Gezer, I don't know when you say Gezer, that Dilraisa, whatever that would be, the addition to the Shev Mitzvah Noach, maybe wouldn't have applied. Maybe it didn't apply over here. I have absolutely no idea. But then the Gemara Sanhedrin makes an unbelievable claim. A claim that you look at and you're just like, this doesn't make any sense at all. The raven turned to Noach and said, I think your motivations are insincere. Shema le'ishti ata tzarech. Maybe you want to be together with my wife. Now, aside from the impossibility of Noach being together with the raven's wife, what in the world is the Gemara? What's the raven saying? Like, God hates me and you hate me. Okay, I can hear that. Like, Noach probably looked at that. And the raven was like, and maybe you're only doing this to get me out of the way so that my wife is there on the teva for you. Noach, can you imagine such a claim? It's the most ridiculous claim you've ever heard from a raven, granted. But nonetheless, a claim of what? The Be'er Sheva says in Sanhedrin. It's learned from the words Yatzo Vashov, as if it went out to bring back tshuvos to Noach. It had claims to Noach to say, what's going on over here? It could be it's a mashal to explain the whole situation, he says. The other shot is, this is what it would have said if we're able to speak. Now, I don't think, ravens probably are not able to speak. And the way that Be'er Sheva says it is, obviously ravens did not talk over here. He understood it as if it was speaking, whatever. But the Yad Ramah on Sanhedrin, the Yad Ramah says, and not the Ramah is Ramosha Israelis, is the Yad Ramah, the Rishon, Ramosha Levi. He says, all birds, and animals for that matter, have a method of speech, even if you can't understand it. As we just said, ravens, obviously, crow and, is it crow? I don't even know. Caw? Crow? Is that the right word? Either way. So either way, and flies around or whatever and can tell it, possibly this raven had the ability to speak. And Noach was able to understand its motions, right? And it did. Maybe it's through a Muslim, maybe it's through something else. There was an ability for it to communicate with Noach. Ayala Seshachar says, the Malach of the raven spoke on the raven's behalf, which makes it even stranger than a Malach would suggest that this is the reason why the raven was upset. Because you might be together with the raven's wife. That's ridiculous. But the Ben Yoyada says the same with the Soda Arizal with a bit of Akdam over there. Says, ravens can't speak. Malachim certainly can. This message was delivered to Noach What's going on here? What in the world kind of a message is being led by saying such a thing? Well, what does that mean altogether? It's not impossible. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis that mentions about a non-Jewish person with a goose. So that's mentions. Avodah Zarah Chav Beis Amud Beis, there's a possibility. There's also in Hilchos Yisuri B of the Rambam in Perek Aleph, it does mention that it's usher to be together with a bird. So it's not impossible. But the concept of what in the world is happening, what's he saying? So Sifzeh Chomim understands the matter by saying that the raven was together with its mate on the table. And since it was together with its mate, even though it wasn't allowed, he assumed, as most Rishayim do, that if he did something wrong, then everybody else is doing something wrong at the same time. I remember somebody saying to me, this is unbelievable. Now, I granted, okay, this was 15 years ago, right? 10 years ago? 10 years ago. 10 years ago, and a guy came up to me. He said, Rabbi, everyone in the world does pot. Everyone in the world. There's not a single person in the world who doesn't. I remember looking at him like, I don't, and I never have. Does that count for anything? I'm pretty sure my kid, who's 5, hasn't done pot. Does he count as a person in the world? No, he's like, anyone over the age of 12? There's not a single person in the world that hasn't done pot. This is what he told me. So I was like, I promise you. I promise you that I haven't. I promise. And this I can say. I'm not even doing a Bli Nether here. I haven't. Maybe other people have tried to close me off in rooms. That happened to me in Neve once. But it's possible that did happen at some time. But no, never. Absolutely not. And he said, no, everyone. And later on, the guy eventually sobered up like 17 years later. And he came up to me and he's like, yeah, the time was going through a bad time. When you're into something and it's solely there, you think everyone is doing the same thing as you. There's no one different. That everyone is the exact same way. So the raven took a look at Noach and he's not suspecting Noach to be together with its own mates. What he really means is to say to Noach, you're probably doing the same thing as me. You're upset at me? For what I did? What about you, Noach? What about you and your mate? To which Noach said, like, no. Big guy. No. That never happened. That never happened. Which the raven was so choshto abazugo, the way Rashi says it. He was choshed him on his mate. It means he was choshed Noach on Noach's mate. That's what it means, not the other way around. That's how the Sifzeh Chomim says it. It doesn't work with the Gemara so well, but it's an idea. The Evan Ezel says, this is just cruel. You're being cruel to me. You're making up things. So if you're going to make up things to kick me out of the table, I'm going to make up things to kick you out of the table. He said to Noach, you also think horrible things about this, that, and the other. That was the idea, but just to be cruel, etc. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says something amazing. He says, watching an animal that is in that mode is usher. And if you're in a zoo and you see something where the animals, and it's in the spring, etc., it's usher to watch. It is absolutely usher to watch. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, having that brings machshavo zaros, strange thoughts into one's head. That's what ends up happening in such a thing. The raven, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, suspected Noach of being there when it was together with its mate, and having machshavo zaros, and thus the suspicions of maybe you want this idea of my wife. This idea of these machshavo zaros that went, that must be what he's talking about over here. And that's how the Or HaChaim HaKadosh explains. And that's the idea behind it. The Maral Diskin says, normally, obviously, there wouldn't be anything like that. But perhaps, since the raven and Noach both knew that the raven was going around, etc., maybe, the raven wouldn't be, the female raven wouldn't be caught because it was already, so to speak, pregnant or laying eggs. Maybe Noach could get away with it. So he looked at Noach. It's just a strange Maral Diskin. But regardless, all of these claims are all based on the Gemara itself. But it sounds like there's something a little bit more, and we're going to get into the other part to it. Parti Yosef says in Gittin Daf Mem Hei that there's a story by Rav Elish. Rav Elish was with a man who was able to converse with birds. He was able to converse with birds. He understood from a raven that was going by. Rav Elish was captured together with the Bante de Shmuel, the daughters of Shmuel, etc. And the daughters of Rav Nachman. The daughters of Rav Nachman were captured. They were both thrown in some type of jail. And Rav Elish overheard from this person who understood the language of the birds that a raven had said, if you run away now, you'll be able to escape. To Rav Elish, if you run away now, you'll be able to escape. So he turned to Rav Elish, this guy who understood the language, and said, this is what that raven just said. So Rav Elish said, never trust a raven. They all lie. Unbelievable, right? Then a dove came and said it, and he said, you can trust doves. Kosher bird said it, then I can go ahead and trust it, and he got away. He was able to get away. Rav Elish was able to get away. Rav Elish, okay, then the Gemara goes into what he said about the daughters of Rav Nachman, etc. But regardless, that Gemara tells us there's something strange about ravens. The Gemara goes on in a really strange way. In Bava Kama Tzadi Beis Mabez, it says the raven likes hanging out with other Tamei birds, the Zarzir. The raven, specifically. There are other tummy birds out there, but the raven likes hanging out with tummy birds. There's a Gemara in Erevin, Chav Beis, and Ksuvas Mem Tesem Beis. Ravens are cruel to their children. Although we don't see that. Again, we don't see it in our ravens that we have today. But there's an idea of cruelty that goes to ravens themselves, as well as ravens are used for Nichush, Sanhedrin, Samachei Amad Aleph. So Rashi brings a message that the raven only completed its tikkun years later. When Elio Anavi had taken the rain away from the world, remember Achav and Chiel were sitting at Chiel's son's Shiva, this is in the end of Sanhedrin, Kuf Yud Beis, Kuf Yud Gimel, right, Kuf Yud Gimel Amad Aleph, and he's sitting at Shiva. Chiel said, how could Yoshua's takana be made, but Moshe's not? So Elio Anavi took away the rain. And he ran away and needed to be fed. He was starving. Ravens brought Elio Anavi's food, dropped food in front of Elio Anavi. And they wondered, how is it possible? It's Gemara and Chulin. Can you trust? How do we? It's Basar Shin Salamina Ayin. The Basar is hidden from the eye. The Basar was coming from Achav. Achav wasn't even. Do we trust his kashrus? But either way, the ravens brought food and gave it over to Elio Anavi. When the ravens did that, they completed their shlichus. By Noach, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But by Elio Anavi, they did. And therefore, the very ad Yeboshes Amayim, until the water dried up, Yeboshes is the same letters as Tishbi. Elio Tishbi. When Elio Anavi comes around, everything's going to be okay. Chassam Sofer explains why. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to go into the Teva and not leave until he tells him to. So when Noach told the raven to look for dry land, he had a good taina. He said, how can you send me out? God doesn't want me to leave. God told me to go in. God didn't tell me to go out. How could you tell me to leave the Teva? Good question, right? But we know the answer. What's the answer? Why was Noach allowed to tell the raven to go outside? So it's a strange answer. It says the Chassam Sofer. Because even when a Kadosh Baruch Hu says something, if a Talmid Chacham wants to make a gzera or a takana that goes against the Dilraisa, a Talmid Chacham is allowed to do so. If a Talmid Chacham says, I know that Hashem said X, but I'm telling you to do Y, we're required to listen to that Talmid Chacham. If it's a gzera lefi shah, not forever, and it's not about Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to listen to it, and you should listen to it. And if you don't listen to it, you're going up against, it's almost like apikorsis. How could you not? When the raven turned to Noach and said, no, I'm not listening to you. God told me to stay into the Teva. I'm not going out. So at that moment, he needed a tikkun for not having emunas chachamim, not believing in the chacham Noach for what he did. So listen to this. When Elio Anavi stopped the rain, he proved to Chiel and Achav that a Talmid Chacham can overrule a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu can be Gozer, but a Tzaddik can be above that Gzera. Tzaddik Gozer Hashem Mekayim. A Tzaddik has the ability to go above everybody else, so to speak, to be above a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's able to make things happen that's beyond anything. The Gzera of a Chacham has power, and Elio Anavi proved that. So the raven, who didn't listen to the first Gzera of a Talmid Chacham, fixed his tikkun. He made his tikkun by doing what? By listening to the Talmud Chacham Elio Anavi. That when Elio Anavi did what he was supposed to do, was mitakin that idea right over here. He then suggested the reason why, we'll get into that, whatever it is. Let's start with something else. The Igor Dekala says the klipa of Orev, that means the shell of Tuma that surrounds ravens even nowadays, is Esav. That same klipa, that Tuma that's around the raven, is the Tuma of Esav. Esav and Yishmael rule over 35 of the 70 nations. Esav is 35 nations, Yishmael is 35 nations. Together, that's Esav and Yishmael. Esav is the Orev, Yishmael is the Zarzir, starlet, whatever you want to call it. It's a type of bird. Okay, Yishmael is right there. By keeping Shabbos, you can defeat these klipos, this tuma. Shabbos is the gematria of 702, and that's also the gematria of Orev Zarzir. Orev and Zarzir together. By keeping Shabbos, you're able to overcome all of that and make a tremendous tikkun. He says that when he sent out the Orev from the Teva, he was taking the Tuma of the world and sending it out completely and saying, we don't want this anymore. In our new world, we want the Klipa of the Orev, the Klipa of Tuma, Esav, we want it out. And although it didn't work for them because the raven survived and the idea behind the raven survived, it's a remez to the future. That at the very, very end, the Teva represents our world. The very, very end of the Teva is like the end of our Gullus. And at the very end, right before the Gula comes, right before HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tzei Min HaTeva, get out, now Mashiach is here. Right before that happens, the raven is sent out completely, away and never comes back. Esav is destroyed, Edom is destroyed, and it's gone completely, as if it's not there anymore. And that's a remez to what Esav stands for. Esav is also hinted to within Yeshu. We know that there was a person named Yeshu who created his own world and created crazy things. Orev is a klipa of what we know. The Tumah is connected to Esav and to Yeshu. There's a connection between all of them. The same way that Yeshu was a thorn in our sides. For what? What was the biggest problem Yeshu had? He wouldn't listen to Chachamim. For those who understand the story in the Gemara. Though he wouldn't listen to Chachamim, and that was Yeshu's biggest issue. Not listening to the Chachamim. We can believe in Torah Shavu'ot Ksav. But Torah Shavu'ot Peh is garbage. That was Yeshu's biggest problem. That was the Orev's problem. And that Orev's problem will be metukan. It'll be fixed up when Eliyahu HaNavi comes, La'asad Lava. The raven was fixed up by that time of Eliyahu HaNavi. Yeshu will be fixed up, I don't know if it's him specifically, but the Tumah that they stand for will be fixed up in the time of La'asad Lava. Rav Wolfson goes on about this. Rav Wolfson in Emunah Sitecha, and he explains how these things work, and it goes ad yabosha samayim until the times of Tishbi, the way that Mashiach is going to come at that time. It could be even more so, guys. Doesn't it make any sense now? What did you want the raven to do? To go tell him good news. To come back and say, guess what? The land is showing. We can go out now to be the bearer of good news. What does Eliyahu HaNavi do? When Mashiach comes, he's the bearer of good news. He's the Mavasar Tov. The whole idea of what the raven was supposed to do and what Tikkun it could have had is fixed up through what Eliyahu HaNavi does, what he's going to do in the future and how it works. There's a lot more here. Obviously, I'm skipping out and there's more stuff that I guess we can go into. But I'm going to end with one thing right over here. I don't want to go with the Arif. No, I can't. It's already a minute left. I will tell you, check out Amei HaShiloach, Rav Eliyashiv, the end of the Al-Sheikh that I quoted before, and the Shachal HaTorah. Check those out. You'll have an awesome board. Or you can just look at the sheets. Either one. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.